For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, I'm still stuck on the, you know, screaming and hollering and complaining and whining about gas prices, and then have Congress, well, to have the Republicans in Congress do nothing. You know, it's one thing to have your cute little stickers. Oh, Joe Biden did this. It's one thing to hold your press conferences and say the Democrats caused the inflation. But to actually do nothing, that's the part I'm struck with. And the last couple of days have shown us that Republicans are void of ideas, are void of policy initiatives that are going to make workers' lives better. And look, very clear, they're not going to. And what we do know of their policy aims, the Rick Scott plan, remember, Rick Scott came on the scene with pictures of baby formula on shelves around the world, without a piece of legislation to get them on our shelves. That should tell you all you need to know. We need people who are going to be fighting for working class folks here in our backyard. That's why I'm happy to have Ashley Ehaz to come talk with us. She's a combat veteran, former Apache helicopter pilot, and Democratic nominee for U.S. Congress in the 1st Congressional District in my state of Pennsylvania. Her website, ehazforcongress.com. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at that. Ashley, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight with you. This is an incredible privilege, and I am so grateful to be the nominee here in Pennsylvania's 1st District for the Democratic Party.
Well, congratulations. You got your work ahead of you, but this is where the work should be. You know, I say the Democrats have got to be the party of the working class. You got to be the party of making lives better. And it should start with gas prices. It should start with formula gate. You look at our Republican friends, and boy, the performances have been great. Oscar award-winning stuff on fake news. Boy, they can get in front of a microphone and they can bring the outrage. But where's the policy? Where's the initiative to actually do something?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And the Republican Party at large, especially the last few years, has been very good at blocking any initiatives that would help working class families. And here in Pennsylvania's 1st District, that is what we have, working class families. And my Republican opponent, Brian Fitzpatrick, likes to pretend that we don't. And in the last 24 hours, he has taken some astonishing votes, most astonishingly, as you just mentioned, he voted against preventing oil and gas companies from gouging prices at the pump. So when we look at the issues that families are facing financially, we look to our leaders to make the right decisions. And Brian Fitzpatrick proves time and time again that he is out of touch with his district, and he will side with his partisan issues and partisan party over families.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want people who are going to stand up for working people. The wealth class has enough lobbyists. They've got enough money. They got enough power to be taken care of. It's those people who are going to stand up to make sure that working families who are struggling in this moment get the support and the help that they need to make it through the next day, the next week, to make sure that their kids get the education that they need, the health care that they need. We can have policy fights and arguments, but at the end of the day, it's got to be, you know, how are we going to push initiatives? And yet I look at someone like Fitzpatrick, who's been pushed to me as a solid labor guy, a good one, a good Republican, which at this point I'm not seeing, because the votes are what matter to me. He seems like a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times, but the votes are what matter to me.
Right. And that is exactly, that's exactly what we need to examine when we look at Brian Fitzpatrick's record. As you mentioned at the top of the intro, I'm a combat veteran. I served nearly 13 years in the military, and I was an attack helicopter pilot. And when I was overseas, getting into the cockpit of that aircraft, I didn't think a lot about the types of Americans that I was defending, whether they were Democrat, Republican. I was thinking of Americans. And that is exactly how I feel when I look at the way we need to hold our leaders accountable who are now in elected positions. And Brian Fitzpatrick votes only how the Republicans want him to vote. He does not vote for all Americans. He does not vote for all family members in our district, all the voters in our district. He does not represent every single person that's here. He votes how he needs to in order to line his pockets with money or appease McCarthy and hold whatever position he might have in the party. And that's it. He is leaving many, many members of our community behind and is happily doing so. And so fundamentally, he is out of touch with this district as we move forward. And that's why it's time for change here. As a young woman who has served her country, I have real skin in the game here. I have nearly $70,000 in student loan debt. I just bought my first home, but only because of the VA loan. So I understand how hard it is to get established right now. We have so many people here who are just trying to live paycheck to paycheck in PA1, and they are struggling. And Brian Fitzpatrick is leaving them behind, which is exactly why I am running for office, to get next generation leadership in the seat who will vote with conscience and courage when it comes to representing this community.
Let's talk about that for a second. Student loan debt. I hear that from young people, you know, all the time. You know, I've got a young relative who's $100,000 in debt. I have no idea how she's going to be able to pay that back, especially when you look at some of the terms, 9% interest on one, 11% on another. It's crazy. And yet you look at the Republicans in Senate, that they've moved a piece of, they're moving a piece of legislation called, and I love this, the Student Loan Accountability Act, which the Accountability Act is to make sure that Biden and Democrats can do nothing to help ease that burden on a generation who has been screwed over by a system that, you know, a lot of these people helped create. That, you know, your generation has been saddled with a true problem for the working class. They've basically come out and said, we're doing nothing. You're screwed. What's the way forward in this? What do you do to move this forward in a way that you think is fair?
Great question. And I always start the answer to this question by acknowledging that student loan debt doesn't just affect people in my generation or those younger than me. As I have talked with voters in this community, it's an issue that affects all generations, because there are some older than me who either still have loans or co-signed a loan for their grandkids. And so this is a systemic issue that affects all families. And as we look forward, fundamentally, the system needs to be fixed. I think right now, aside from the 0% interest as loans are delayed, you can get a student loan, or I'm sorry, you can get a home for lower interest rates than you can a student loan. That right there tells me the system is broken, and the federal government can control that for federally backed loans. And then we also need to look at the costs of institutions. We need to provide real incentives for schools to lower their costs, because right now you have young people taking out massive student loans at an age where they're probably not really sure what they're going to get for it. And that is a tremendous burden that follows them for the rest of their lives. Yeah. And I think we also need to take advantage of the incredible institutions we have here in Pennsylvania, not only four-year traditional institutions, but also trade and technical schools, and make sure we provide good pathways and good incentives for students to go to those other schools. So that way we can build out our economy and create a really diverse group of great workers, especially when we look to making sure our unions are taken care of.
Yeah, and promote union apprenticeship programs and bring, you know, trades back into the schools. There's so much we can be doing. My idea in the beginning of this, right from the start when we were talking about this, is I think the federal government should be buying up all the student loans and administering these at a low interest rate so people pay back what they borrowed. So there's a sense of fairness. If you borrowed $50,000, you pay $50,000 back, with maybe at a 0.5% interest or whatever the administration cost would be, so that there is a sense of you borrowed it, you paid it back. But this idea that you're paying 9, 10, 11%, and then all the penalties and all the fees and all the craziness they throw on top of it, just so that the Education Incorporated can make more money off the backs of people who just wanted to maybe have a shot at living a middle-class lifestyle is patently unfair. So something has to be done. At least that's my thought. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Ashley Ehas. She is running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. Her website, ehasforcongress.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. So let's move into a couple of different areas because, again, you know, I'm a union guy. I'm a firm believer in people's rights to join and form unions, collectively bargain for better wages, hours, conditions. As we've been watching Amazon, we've been watching Starbucks, Apple now. There's a bunch of organizing going on, but it's too much. It's too difficult. The pendulum has swung way too far to the side of employers. Is there something that you view as a congressperson that you could do that would maybe help? Are you a supporter of the PRO Act? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think when we look at working class families, especially union members, getting established here and having incredible pathways forward, I think we need to look at the family holistically as well and create incentives for unions to have the power versus corporations. But when I talk the power imbalance between corporations and unions, I also always want to bring unions back to the families that make them up. And when I look at Pennsylvania's first district, we have some of the highest cost of living across the Commonwealth, and that's with Brian Fitzpatrick in this seat. So he has not done anything to lower the cost of living when it comes to these families. So when we're looking at making sure unions have the power to negotiate on behalf of workers, whether it's for healthcare, safety in the workplace, we also need to make sure families are well taken care of even outside the workplace. So that way they can focus all their energy to organizing and working together to actually advocate for better benefits. So when I say all that, we look at things like paid family leave. Brian Fitzpatrick voted against that. So having that codified at the federal level would absolutely help those who are bargaining for better conditions at work. When we look at reducing the cost of healthcare, if that is done so at the federal level, that gives so much more strength and power to those who are bargaining through the unions for better conditions at work. So when I look at the way we take care of our unions, I also look at the way we holistically take care of families, because those are one and the same to me.
Now, as a young woman and look, me as an old white guy who has, you know, two daughters, the abortion issue is front and center, especially after we've seen the leaked memo from our Supreme Court. This clearly has to be an issue that's important to you. I'm curious how you see things legislatively and how you see things, you know, in society going forward.
Thank you for asking that question. And I actually want to link it back to the one that you asked before, which is how do we give the balance to working class families versus these large corporations? And when we look at the devastating impact that if Roe is overturned this summer, as that draft intends, it will devastate 50% of the population with those who can bear children, but also their families. And if that is overturned, it not only undoes the sanctity of the conversation between a woman and her doctor, but it also completely upends their ability to family plan. Or if a woman is looking to get back into the workplace, she may not be able to now if Roe is overturned. So we need to look at the economic implications of this overturn as well. In my district, the largest demographic that lives at or below the poverty line are women aged 25 to 34. So when we look at the impact on the economy, the impact on just their ability to provide for their families that they statistically probably already have, if their right to choose is gone, we devastate that. We devastate the ability for women to participate in the economy and society. So all of these issues touch each other. And something that is also deeply concerning with the draft as it was written is there is a framework built there that wants to undo nearly 70 years of civil rights legislation in this country. So they will not stop with just Roe. They will go after contraceptives next. The ability to have marriage between gay couples. These are things that make America amazing. And they want to undo the basic frameworks of all the progress we've made in the last 70 years.
Yeah, as I say, they want to undo the 20th century and return us to the good old days of the 80s and 90s and not the 1980s and 90s. So last question I've got for you, if you're making that elevator pitch, why Ashley Ehas? Why you? Why now?
Thank you. So we need change in Pennsylvania's first, full stop. Ryan Fitzpatrick is out of touch and out of line with this district. He will not vote with confidence or with any courage for this community. And we need someone who is a public servant and not a politician and someone with skin in the game. I will keep saying it. There are so many issues on the table, many of which we discussed tonight, that I either am experiencing now as a 33-year-old woman who has served this country, or someone in my family has, or I know someone in this community who are dealing with things that the current elected official is not solving for them. So I am here to bring very real change to this community and make sure our basic rights, like voting rights, reproductive rights, are taken care of. I will protect our democracy, and I will make sure that working class families here in the community can afford homes, health care, and be able to just take care of their families. And that's incredibly important.
How can people help? Other than go to the website, ehouseforcongress.com, how can people help the campaign? How can people help you out across the country?
Thank you so much for that. So we are currently building a massive coalition here in southeastern Pennsylvania. And I'm so proud of the grassroots organization that we have in the community. So please go to my website. You can sign up to volunteer. We are knocking doors every weekend. We're getting people out there with literature. We're going to events and just really talking about the issues with voters. And that is a really great way to get engaged. And even if you don't live here in the community, you can follow me on social media, help spread the message and get that out even beyond southeastern Pennsylvania.
Good stuff. Ashley, I wish you the best. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thank you so much. This was lovely. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Good stuff. Again, if you want to check out the website, ehouseforcongress.com, we'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. I highly suggest it. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, I like her. She seems great. Again, the website, ehouseforcongress.com. If you want to check out her website and the platform. I like the idea, that the whole wraparound, helping workers, do better in the workplace, but also the community stuff. I think it's really important. I got an email from Randy, who says, I think your news coverage of baby formula shortage may have missed an important point. For the past few decades, Congress has approved of the so-called urge to merge approach for corporations to point where the big corporations gobble up the smaller corporations until there are only three or four huge corporations producing a single product. So when one of those corporations is disabled, for some reason, there is only 3/4 of the supply left. No, Randy, I think I've been talking about that quite extensively. I think consolidation has been something of a, I may be mistaken, but I think that's been my point from the very beginning. Mass consolidation has been our problem in all of our inflation problems at this moment. The monopolies that we've allowed to spring up, in our food supply, in transportation, in a lot of areas. The big A company, I think that's a big part of it as well, that we're allowing these companies to get so large that they're almost ungovernable. And it's how they like it. They like the power and control that size gives them, because they can run roughshod over government, because they know government is the only way that they can be held accountable. And this is why Republicans have done their foolhardy best to destroy the only body that can hold corporate America accountable. That's part of that's the beauty of what they've done. That's the mastery of government's the problem, not the solution. Because then the solution has to be corporate America. Now, they want you to believe that you're the answer. And this is where I get into this, it's a philosophical argument. Look, I'm fearful of government as much as anyone, but I believe in government of, for, and by we the people over corporations of the board of directors. That's the simple reality. For a lot of the big decisions, we don't get input. And that's one of these reality moments that we have to come around to. I want representatives to have to come to me every 2, 4, 6 years and make their case of why we should continue to support them, why they should be the ones that we vote for. You don't get that in corporate America. You don't get the CEO going, hey, vote for us because we've done this to make your life better. No, they don't do that. It's an incestuous pool of robber barons and oligarchs. For instance, I had a listener, today, email me and going, hey, did you see Elon Musk's going to vote for Republicans now? What do you think of that? Can you comment on that? And I'm going, yeah, I'll comment on it, but I'll comment it on Twitter because it would be an expletive-laden comment here that the FCC would not like. The fact that we look to robber barons, our modern-day robber barons, for whatever the blank that they think, I don't care what Elon Musk thinks. Elon Musk is part of the problem. Bezos is part of the problem. They are the smart people. Oh, they're smart people. They've made themselves very wealthy. They've manipulated a system that where they've benefited. But Rick, they've created jobs. Yeah, yeah, they've figured out how to make $10 off of paying you $4. That's pretty smart. I give them credit for being able to do that. But am I going to look to them to solve society's problems when I know that their intention is to make themselves wealthier at my expense and yours? No, of course not. Now, do they have some good ideas? Sometimes, sure. Are those ideas to benefit the greater good? I'm a little questioning of that. This whole space exploration thing, let's see whose phallic rocket can get to space first. I think it's a little bit of phallic waving, but I also think it's who can get to the asteroids to get the minerals first. Who can figure out how to get transit back and forth to be the first trillionaire? But we can't talk about that because they're benevolent. There are benevolent dictators. But remember, a benevolent dictator is still a dictator. You still don't get a voice. A benevolent fascist is still a fascist. And we better wake up to that. Our government, ours, still in this moment, while we still have the ability to vote, is still supposed to be responsive to us. The problem is there's a political party who believes that it doesn't matter because their base is so, so addicted to the outrage candy. All they got to do is just throw it out there, baby formula, and they lose their minds. No solutions, no ideas how to fix the problem, just point. And there's instant outrage, instant anger. You can't even point out the fact that Randy's right. Mass consolidation has done this. The big fish has been allowed to eat all of the little fishes until what? We're dependent on the big fish and their benevolence. That's the problem. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any of today's program or any of our shows, make sure you download the podcast, subscribe, never miss a moment. Make sure it's always there. Make sure you leave a comment. Love to hear that. Also, a 5-star rating wouldn't be bad. I like that as well. Share it with your friends. Again, if you've got thoughts, questions, comments, I'd love to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I do prefer the angry ones. Those go to the top. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
I'm Rick Smith.